Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Well, I got a picture. I don't know if Brandon has it. You got a picture. It's a paint. There you go. I don't paint anything. But I remember always saying my nephews, don't paint the horses with blue or yellow. Paint them brown or white. Because I never saw a blue horse. However, well, this is a very expensive paint. How much you will pay for that? I don't know. But I just will tell you, it was $850,000, that paint. Some people give value to paint. I would say overvalue to paint. Some of you have some paints at home, right? But I don't know how much value you give to paint. Well, somebody paid for that paint $850. But after a few years, they figured out it was a fake paint. That's a big issue. Because nobody was aware of that. Till some experts on that then check the chemicals of the paint thing itself, found some chemical elements that wasn't of the type of the painter, of the real painter. The one who painted this work of art was Beltracchi. Beltracchi, Wolfgang Beltracchi. It's German. I mean, I can barely do it in English. Don't make me speak in German. But Beltracchi, this guy, it is some estimations that he made more than $50 million of dollars on painting fake works of art. And nobody could find him. And nobody could figure out his paints were fake. Even today, people know that there are some works of art that were sell and are fake because he painted. And they cannot figure out which ones are. And you know, that made me think also that we cannot figure out each other who is a son of God, really, deeply. We can be a fake. I can be a fake. And I don't know how much value you give to yourself. But if that value is based on a fake faith or a fake repentance, I mean, the guys who buy this paint, the guys who pay $850,000, dollars for this paint, they had it in the living room. So everybody who came in can see the paint. You can see the story of Beltracchi in Netflix. Found that. But once they figured out it was fake, they just put it on trash. Because it really didn't have any value after they figured out it was fake. So you can give to yourself some value. And you can give to your faith somebody. But if your faith is not a true faith, it is not a true repentance. Once the real author will come to us, he will see that you are a fake Christian. And you know where he is going to put you. And it is not going to be good. So today I want you to talk about how easy it could be to lie to ourselves. For this purpose, now we will go to the text I have. I want to talk to you about truth because it is a real truth that God lives and God exists. right? And everybody is agree with that. But I was reading some people who dedicate their life to philosophy, and it is hard, but they say something about truth, and it's quite simple to understand. And I want to share that with you. They say there is two kinds of truth. There is the categorical truth, or the necessarily true. And there is also the truth that just describes the reality. But it is not a necessarily true or categorical truth. For instance, I got a Bible here. My Bible is black. Is it true? Yeah, it's true, it's black. But it is a necessary truth? No, it could be brown or red. That's what they mean when we just describe the reality. That truth is not necessary for our lives. And sometimes we are like that with God. We believe God exists. And we really believe it, and we come every Sunday and say it. But that truth never turn in a necessity in our lives. And they say true necessities are like 0 plus 1 is 1, right? They say that's a necessary truth. Because if that wouldn't be a truth, then all our mathematical system and even your devices wouldn't work. Because, you know, your devices, the computers and those stuffs, are based on zeros and ones. So if 0 plus 1 is no 1, well, this world will be a chaos. And that's a necessary truth. Of course, these philosophers, they were not a Christian. So then God for them was not a necessity. But for the one who is a child of God, the one who has been born again, God is a necessity. Because otherwise, his life will be a chaos. And I don't know how necessarily is God for you. Maybe it is only necessary on Sundays. Maybe he's only necessarily for you on when you have some problems. But would you be crazy if you don't have God? Would your life really be a chaos if you don't have God? Or you just will continue with your life, working and doing your stuff, raising your child and everything? Well, when God is a necessary truth in your life, you will then live one day, 1 hour, without depending on him. I have this. We're not going to cover all that. Don't worry. That's just for you. The first two sections, confess and know the Bible, and they use it. All those three empty places should have a check also. So we see here, and you can check later on your Bible, then we have some characteristics that are common between a true Christian, a false Christian, and the demons. Do you believe in God? Have you ever confessed Jesus is God? James saying, that's good, because demons do that also. So that doesn't make you a Christian. Of course, it is necessary. Remember when Abraham and Isaac went going up to the mountain so to be sacrificed? Isaac asked Abraham, hey, Father, we have here the wood and we have the fire. But where is the land for the sacrifice? Where you have faith, but you don't have repentance, there is no offering. to God. Something have we to repent in order to be an offering to God, in order that you can give glory to God. You can have faith, but faith alone doesn't make a sacrifice. Fire alone doesn't make a sacrifice. Wood alone doesn't make a sacrifice. Have to be wood, fire, and the land. Well, it's the same. You cannot be a Christian only because you confess that Jesus is Christ. Also, the demons know the Bible. You know, even Satan knows the Bible. So we don't have to go there. You already know that. In the temptations Jesus had, you can check on that. Seems like children of the light. Yeah, it says also Paul that the demon seems like the light. And they know about God. Yeah, they know about God. There is an event in Acts 19. Let's go there. That's a very nice story. Let's go to Acts 19 really quick. The verse 15. Let's go to read from verse 13. It says, verse 13. But also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul, but who are you? These demons, they were aware. And be careful. Sometimes we confront a demon. Because the demons know who is Jesus. And they know who are the means of God also. Do you think a demon will tell you, I know Jesus, I know your pastor, or I know your leader. But who are you? These people who were doing exorcism, they believe they could do deliverance to other people. They might even believe that they could be like Paul, like a son of God. But the demon confronted them. And that would be very scareful. That's why sometimes I'm very scareful to take just a random people with me to go and do evangelism. Because this could be a true in that moment. So we have to be prepared. So don't believe that just because you know of God, or that you know the Bible, or you confess that Jesus is Lord, then you are a true Christian. Not necessarily. It could be a fake Christian yet. But then you can review all these steps, and those will tell you what things can make you different from demons and what things can show you that you are different from a fake Christian also. So that's a work for you. You can work on that at home. Don't lose that paper. You can work on that at home when you are alone with God, so he can work in your life. In case you are not a true Christian, he might can show you by his word that you've been living in a lie. So now that was just the introduction. Let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Let's go a little bit fast. Ezekiel 36, verse 22. Well, if you have it, follow me in the reading. It says, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nation, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into my own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all the filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Here is Ezekiel talking to, well, it's God actually talking, giving to Ezekiel something that God is going to do in the future. And this passage, for me, is a more clearful passage to see how God works in the life of a sinful person. There is a maximum in Jesus. Jesus always say, by your fruits, by their fruits, you will know them. Sometimes we just don't believe that. Sometimes we don't realize that. The only way you can know somebody, or you can figure out if somebody is not a Christian, or probably is a Christian, is by their fruits. And it's very important, the fruits. Not because we are saved by fruits. Absolutely not. We are saved by grace and only grace. But faith in Christ. But His Holy Spirit that is given to us. And clean our lives, but also renew our spirits. And I want to talk about that. When I was a child, I was raised in Peru. Peru is not like here. And it wasn't even close like here when I was a child. And in Peru, usually kids or youth don't like to take a shower, because in those times, nobody used to have hot water. It was cold. It was understandable. So what happened? I had three brothers. We were four men. We all used to sleep in one room. And it was those long nights, because if you know my family, they will joke for everything. I mean, they wouldn't be serious. And they laugh about everything, and they make jokes from each other. And it was, we were sleeping in one room. We couldn't sleep, pretty much. It was long nights and funny nights. But my dad was not that nice at that time. So when it was too late, and he couldn't sleep, he just screamed us and told us to shut up. And if we don't shut up, he just told us, go and take a shower. So take a shower at 1 a.m. wasn't a good thing. I mean, and we don't have air conditioning. We don't have those stuff. So it was very bad. It was a suffering thing. But some of us start to figure out how to make that punishment a little bit easier. So we just make the water run. We just take some water and, you know, do a fake cleaning. And we make a lot of noise and everything. Ooh, ooh, like, so he got here. Oh, yeah, he's taking the shot. But for some reason, you know, they have an extra instinct. And one of those occasions, I was doing that, and he just came in with a bell in the hand. And I immediately jumped to the water. And I was completely clean. Sometimes we think that then we can lie to God. Sometimes we think that we can just clean some parts of our lives and let others dirt be dirt. But you know, God has more power even than my dad. If he says that he is going to make you clean, and if he says that he's going to make you keep his status, his commandments, then he will do it. Because he is powerful to do that. Your sin is not enough powerful to stop God's work in your life. It couldn't be. The only reason for that is that God doesn't came in your life yet. Sometimes we try to lie God and try to lie to ourselves, to our conscience, to don't feel guilty. But you know, for the first reason God do this to clean us and to make us keep his commandment, it's not for you. You take too much value for you sometimes if you think like that. Let's go to verse 22. It says, therefore say to the house of Israel, this says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for my holy name. It is not because you deserve to be saved that God saved you. It is not because you deserve his love that God loves you. It's just because God is a Savior. And it's because God is love that he shows you his love. And that's why he saved you too. And what is the main purpose of this? Is the sake of God. And also what we are playing with is the holy name of God. You know, I also remember Moses. We're not going there, but Moses chapter 3, when God called Moses. You remember that story? When God called Moses and God says to Moses, I will call Moses. God called Moses to deliver his people from Egypt, right? And Moses, argue with God and say, well, I'm not good at speaking, or why me? There's a wonderful story there in that chapter. But one of the things God tells to Moses is that he was about to deliver his people so they can go to the desert and worship him. And I say, why they cannot worship God in Egypt? I mean, they have food there, they have work there, they have their lives, they've been there for generations. Why they can't just not worship God in Egypt? Why he has to take them to the desert? Because they were slaves in Egypt. And God, when God came to your life, is to make you free from the slave. If you are not free from the slavery of sin, you are not ready yet to worship God. it will be better than like the people of Israel cry to God for deliverance first before you start to worship God. Before you worship God and God receive your worship, you are going to worship His holy name. So you need to be free from sin. And that's why God has to deliver Israel from Egypt. So they can come out to the desert and in freedom they can worship Him. Let's go to John chapter 8. Don't lose Ezekiel. Let's go to John chapter 8. Verse 44. John 8:44. I would say Jesus is very clear. He doesn't make too much confusion. For instance, when we sing this beautiful song, and it says, God is my friend, my friend is God, this song. The Bible tells you about that also. Jesus tells you about that. Jesus says, you are my friend if you keep my commandments. And I say, if I don't keep His commandments from Monday through Saturday, why I came on Sunday and say, He's my friend? He's not. And Jesus said that. So let's go to John 8:44 to see what else Jesus said. And Jesus said in John, you are of your father the evil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because he is not truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. If you're a son of God, you don't have that nature. You have a new nature. You are a new creature. But when Satan speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. And you know, sometimes we think that if we are a slave from one sin, that's okay. I was reading a wonderful man. It's Charles Spurgeon. And he was saying, you can drink 10 kinds of poison and you will die. But you also can drink one only kind of poison. And you know what? You will die too. I want to tell you something. You can have 10 different kinds of chains in your life from sin. And you will die. Because if you are a slave of sin, you are from your father, Satan. But you also can have only one kind of chain. And you know what? You will die too. Because God is more powerful than any chain. We don't see that? Yeah, He can break chains. But He not only can break chains, He breaks the chains also. And if God doesn't have break that change in your life, you need to repent and ask for deliverance. He is not the God of the slaves of sin. Oh, no. Don't lie yourself. He is the God of free people. So let's go back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. I told you don't lose it and I lose it. I'm sorry. Ezekiel. I heard it here. And it says, let's go. It's a long passage. And we won't be able to cover it all. But I want to focus on verse 25. It says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. And that's the same that when God says to Jesus says to Nicodemus in John 3, he says to Nicodemus, you have to be born from water. Or it's the same when Paul says to Titus, or Titus, in Titus chapter 3, that you need to be washed by water. Because Jesus died for us so he can forgive us from sin. But he not only forgive our sins, but he make us free from our sins. You remember when the angel appears to Maria? How do you say? Mary? Sorry. Do you remember what name the angel said to Mary she has to put to the kid? Jesus, right? You know why? Because he was going to deliver the people from sin. So Jesus came not only to forgive your sin. And sometimes we create this new theology and this new idea that, well, God forgive my sin. Okay, you are forgiven for this. But he doesn't came just for that. He also make us free from sin. And how that works, let's go to the verse 25 again. It says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And in the verse 27, it says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. That's the freedom. That's live in the spirit. That's what Paul says in Galatians. Now I die with Christ and I live by the spirit of God. You might can say that Jesus is your Lord. You might can say that he forgive you from your sins. You can even believe it, really. But if God doesn't put your spirit in you so you can keep his commandments, so you can walk in his path, then you are missing something very important. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that makes us cry, Abba, Father. Probably that's the reason we don't pray too much these days. Because we don't have the Spirit of God. Let's go to James chapter 1 really quick. James chapter 1. Well, I have plenty of time yet. James chapter 1. Let's go to James chapter 1. Go to the verse 22. He says, but prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Let's 23. The Trinity says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. The 24, for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. I will read that one too. But in a little, Paul says that if we just listen to the word, you just come on Sundays and hear a sermon, if you just listen a sermon in YouTube or anywhere else, but you don't do God's word, you don't live by his commandments, if you live still by your pleasures and desires, if you still have chains or sin in your life, then you are only a listener. And if you are only a listener, you are like a man that see his face in a mirror. And then he leaves and forget how he looked. I'm married, right? Yeah. It's time. I'm married. But I don't used to be late for church before I married. You know why? Well, because I had a wife that had to look to the mirror. But she just doesn't look to the mirror and look at her and then leave. No. What woman do that? No woman just look to the mirror and leave, right? Because when a woman look to a mirror, they are they see a vision. They see a vision of how they will look after 3 minutes in the mirror. Yeah? They see themselves in the future. They can see that. I don't know how. But they just don't look themselves in the mirror. They start to clean themselves and to make them beauty. Right? That's what a normal person should do. But this person Paul is talking about here says he's the kind of person that just look to the mirror, and you might at some point knew somebody like that, then arrives at home or at school and he didn't even watch their face. That's the kind of person Paul is talking. They just look to the mirror and they see that they are dirt, but they didn't clean themselves. Paul says that you are like that if you just hear the word, but don't do the word. And that's a kind words, actually. You know what Jesus would say? Well, that's bad. Jesus said, you are like a dog. Then eat again, it's vomit. If you are just a listener and not a doer. That's bad. And God is worse or like Jesus, even. He says, if you hear the word and don't do the word, he will vomit you from himself. So how is your life? Are you really doing the word of God? Are your acts, are your actions, are your feelings, your thinkings, are according to the commandments of God? Or you are still a slave or something in your life? You might be a slave of sin, of lie, I don't know, of women's, of men's, of alcohol. I don't know if you are a slave of something. But if you are a slave of something, you are just a listener, but not a doer of God's word. And you can say, yeah, I say, but it couldn't be just one thing. I mean, that will mean that I will be perfect. Yeah, you got the point. That's the idea. Because God is holy, holy. He's 3 times holy. One time is not enough. He's holy, holy, holy. And we need to be like our God. At least one. And not just because of that. Look what Jane says in the verse. Let's go to chapter 1, verse 26. Yeah, 26. Chapter 1, 26 of James. It says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet that's not brindle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This man's religion is worthless. You know, James says only one thing. If you don't control your tongue, your religion is worthless. If your tongue, just your tongue, makes you a slave from sin, your religion is worthless. What I'm trying to say, my friend, is that you need to repent from all your sins. You need to be clean by God and renewed by the Holy Spirit. If there is not a new birth, there is not a new Son of God. The Christianity is not only here or only in our heart and our emotions. It is in our whole spirit. It's a completely change that we need to seek for. Right there in the verse 24, no, 25, I mean 25, James 1, 25, he says, but the one who looks intently at the perfect law, and what kind of law? The law of liberty. And abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. That's the gospel. The gospel is not to a slave to keep being a slave. The gospel is for slave people to be free from sin. I also remember my father was very strict with us. I mean, he was bad. He will go to jail if he will live here. Definitely, for sure. Well, one of those days we had to, when we went to church, we have to keep ourselves clean. But you know, you are in South America. There is earth easily to find. And he told me to be careful when I are with my friends, to don't dirt myself, you know. So I was playing, and I fall, and I completely dirt myself. But I wasn't the only one. With me was the other youth from the church. Their parents were also Christians. So we were all everybody brothers, right? So I told them, hey, come with me. And I was all the time with them. So when my dad see me, he will see that everybody is dirt. And he will forget me. I was hoping. So when he saw me, there was not a mercy in his eyes. Yeah, not at all. And I told him, but Victor and Daniel, they are also dirt. I mean, we're playing. How can we know be dirt after we play? It is also your fault you don't put concrete floor in the church. So, but he told me, you know what? I don't care about the Victor and Daniel. Because they are not my sons. You are my son. I don't have to deal with them. I deal with you. And if I told you, you don't have to be there, you won't be there. You know, and we want to be like the world. And we also want to be treated like God, sons of God. How that could be possible? God doesn't treat with your neighbor. God doesn't treat with your friends at work or at school. They treat with you. They make you holy, not your friends. You know why he make you holy? Because you are his own. If you are his own. And we want to be like the world. We want to love the world. We act like the world. And then we want to be child of God. Now, there is a whole contradiction. James also says in chapter 4, the one who declares himself friend from the world declares also enemies of God. And that's not a passive relation. That's an active relation. Enemies of God. You insult God. You go against God. No, my God, our God is the God who make us holy and make us live in holiness and make us live free from sin. Not that you are going to be perfect. Absolutely. But you won't be a slave of one sin. Every day, every week, every month, every year of your life. That sin couldn't be a chain in your life if you are a son of God. So then you can have a good belief. You can be right in saying, Jesus is the Lord. But you know, for a son of God, that truth is a necessity. You know why? Because when you are going to do something wrong, you cry, Abba Father, don't make me do that. Help me. In my temptations, in everything. That's why it is a necessity. When I don't want to read the Word of God and I prefer, I don't know, play or watch TV or do anything else, I fall on my knees and I say, God, please me. Make me desire you more than the world. Then you see the Spirit of God leading your life in every act you do. But how can we lie to ourselves? James say, you have a chain in your life. Don't lie to your heart. You are not a son of God yet. You need to repent and seek for this gospel, the gospel that makes you clean and free for sin. Because without that, you will be useful for God. You won't be able to worship God. Oh no. God doesn't want dirt worship. He hates dirt worship. It's the worst thing you can do. It's 10,000 better to just declare yourself non-Christian and never came back to this church or any church and live like an evil person than try to bring worship to God every Sunday than it's dirt. Don't do that to God. You know why? Because then God says what he says to Ezekiel. Tell these people, my name was profaned among these nations. And that's what we do in this country. We profane God's name in this nation. Because we want to bring dirt worship to God. Oh, no. That's not God. Be careful of that. Be careful of God. Don't believe you are living Christianity. If you live for the world, if you live for your desire and your pleasures, and you just come on Sundays and say, you are my friend. Oh, no, he's not your friend. Don't lie to your heart. Don't do that. He's powerful. He's powerful to clean you completely, even if you don't want. If you don't want, you have to fall on your knees and repent and say, I believe, help my belief. Till he make you really believe and change your life. Not only forgive your sin, but change your life. So you will keep his commandments. So we need of that God. We need that belief. We need that repentance. We need that spirit. Otherwise, we are just lying ourselves. We are just making a joke here every Sunday. You are in great danger if you still have one change in your life. That's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, in Acts. They were trying to bring their worship to God. The same happened to Saul in the Old Testament, the King Saul. He was trying to bring their worship to God. That's something that God hates completely and destroys completely. Don't play with that. Don't play with God. Don't lie yourself, especially don't lie yourself. Don't create in your mind a new theology, a new doctrine that tell you, I'm safe, I'm son of God with my sin and everything. No. If God enters in your life, the pastor all the time says, if God enters in your life, boom, it's like the trailer crashed you, right? Oh, yeah. Because he just not only forgets you, he changed you completely. And if you are not changed yet, you need to come to God. That he changed you. Okay? Please think on that. The Bible says that his spirit testifies to our spirit if we are sons of God. Is his spirit testifying on your spirit every day, in every act you do, in every thing that you think, testifying that you are a son of God? Or it is testifying that you are a son of Satan? Who is your father? I know Jesus. I know who is Paul also. But I don't know you. And God also says, Jesus says, that one day you will tell me, Lord, Lord, in your name we do a lot of things for you. But he will tell us, I never knew you. So make sure that God is in your life. Okay? Let's pray.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.